The following is an original production of Mod Mobilian Radio.
You're listening to Babylon Mobile here on Mod Mobilian Radio. My name is Emily. Thanks for tuning in for another exciting edition of a group of people who sit around, drink, and talk about Mobile in the South. That's what we do. Our group today includes me. Like I said, I'm Emily. We also have
Doc,
Eddie Curran,
Danger Granger,
and Mac,
and the lovely Laura sitting here as well.
We have a myriad of things to discuss today. One thing we do want to say is that we hope our friend Clay Bates is enjoying his 30th birthday extravaganza out there in the Midwest in Oklahoma. Yay, Clay.
We miss you, Clay.
We do miss you, Clay. Loads of things for us to talk about today. Like the new Little Debbie cakes, but first we're going to let Doc and Eddie get in some heavy things.
Although now we do want everyone, Emily, to participate, because this is an interesting story, but we also, I think it'd be good to have questions from y'all on it, because someone...
I'm not very smart, so unless it's about things I know, I don't have much to contribute.
Come on. We want... this so it's understandable for everybody, because it affects everybody because everyone pays their power bill. And if you remember Luke Buckley, he's part of the story as well. But Eddie, why don't you tell us what you've been working on for the past
I'll try to keep it straight for as I can. I tend to ramble, but I will try to be clear. Okay. I was a former reporter at the Mobile Press Register. Since then, I've had like a little legal research business, one person. And I got a call in August from some people in Jackson, Mississippi, with kind of an unusual name. They're called the Bigger Pie Forum, as in they want Mississippi to have a bigger piece of the economic pie. And they're a nonprofit, and they're devoted to various – they have economic positions they push in Mississippi. And as I was to learn – they have for some years been publicly critical of a coal mine in Mississippi called the Kemper Plant. It's a new new kind of coal plant in Mississippi. And recently, in the past, about, I don't know, 8 months or so, they've been harshly criticized in television ads or radio ads, newspaper ads, op-eds by some nonprofits in Montgomery, who they suspected of being associated with or working on behalf of Mississippi Power. In other words, Mississippi Power does not appreciate what these people are doing in Mississippi. So they asked me to find out a little bit more about these folks in Alabama. So I agreed to do so. And so it started as I was going to be working for them. And now I have, just I want to go ahead and say this, I have not bill them, I will not bill them, and I'm not going to take their money, because what I found in Alabama so interested me that I decided to make it a one-man journalism project. If I were to be associated with a group or paid by a group, it could be easily dismissed. And what I primarily looked at in Alabama, as I initially told these people, said, well, I need to go to their home state and look at them there, because that's where they've have been operating for a while. And mostly what I've done is actually, I'm going to call it a documentary. I don't mean to use a fancy term, but it's in four parts, and it's on YouTube, and I'll tell about it. But first, it's called Mr. Dunn Goes to Montgomery. And my website, excuse me, is is Alabama Power Behind the Mask.com. And what I learned, and in fact, the Mobile Media, I mean, the Alabama Media, AL.com has covered this a good bit, but what happened? The story is this. In 2010, a man named Terry Dunn ran for the Public Service Commission. That's the commission that monitors the utility monopolies in the state, including Mobile Gas, Alagasco, and Alabama Power. You may know that Ben Raines wrote some stories last year and this spring examining the rates of Mobile Gas compared to other places. And so Terry Dunn is a Republican. He's a self-made businessman. He retired at 45, and he decided, among other things, to run for the Public Service Commission. So he had read where, among other things, Alabama Power's rate of return. See, the way you regulate monopolies' prices is it's not so much their rates, because some utilities have it's more expensive for them to create power. They may be farther away from coal or water or whatever, but it's their rate of return or profit. Now, the national average for power utilities such as Alabama Power is, I think, 10.6. That means that the public service commissions in states out of the country, there's an average rate of return or profit allowed for these monopolies of 10.6. Alabama Power's is 14.5%. It is the highest in the country, and it has not been reviewed in 30 years, nor has there been what's called, I know this gets kind of technical, a rate hearing. Other states routinely have rate hearings where the power company officials have to testify under oath and present and be questioned and, you know, and have to defend their rates. In Alabama, that has not occurred. And the reason it's not occurred is because no one in Alabama who's been elected to the Public Service Commission has ever had the guts to stand up to Alabama Power. So what we've had basically is a regulatory body of elected officials who have been too frightened of Alabama Power to do anything. And what this story I've learned is there is a reason to be afraid of Alabama Power. Terry Dunn, he simply has tried to do what goes on in other states. What subsequently happened to him, and it continues to happen to him, is these organizations, including JobKeeper and Pace, these kind of shady nonprofits, and you don't know where they're getting their money, have produced all manner of videos and all manner of materials, including on something called Yellowhammer News, which is like the most popular conservative news site in Alabama. And what they've done is they had a strategy to paint Terry Dunn as being sort of a left-wing liberal environmentalist. You know, they have used various means, propaganda, to, and you know, he's not an environmentalist. He has nothing. He's been to the Republican convention 3 times. He doesn't come from that community, doesn't know people in that community. In fact, the PSC really has nothing to do with the environmental nature of the coal that's done. But he has tried to say, we need to do what other states do and perhaps lower the rate of return. So what has happened is he has had a highly orchestrated, all sorts of materials to defeat him, to ruin him in the eyes of a conservative voter in Alabama. It's very cynical because you got your conservative voter, and these people have said, you know, we need to be able to go to them like in TV commercials and say, are you going to vote for this guy who's like Obama? He likes Obama, and he's like those lefty people that are they're tree huggers and all this stuff. And so they've basically taken a guy and redefined him in a way that he's not. And now he has opponents who are criticizing him as an environmentalist. Haley Barber, who's the Southern Company lobbyist, Alabama Power's part of some company, is coming to Mountain Brook, Birmingham, near Mountain Brook, to raise money for his opponent. He has been, throughout the Republican Party, belittled. Speaker of the House Mike Hubbard summoned Terry Dunn to his office and had 3 of his aides kind of give him the 10th degree and say, you need to just lay low. He's had people come to his office say, you can be in this position forever if you just lay low and quit doing this. He's had people come and say that he needs to get rid of his chief of staff and replace him. They want to replace him with someone who is controlled by Alabama Power.
So this guy, they get paid like $100,000 a year, and their whole job is supposed to be to keep the rates, because it's a monopoly, fair. I mean, in line for the consumer, so the power company makes money, but they don't just jack them up, you know, as high as they want, because we have no choice but to pay it. So in the past, these people haven't even come to work. They've collected $100,000 a year.
I used to source a girl named woman named Jan Cook, and corruption among these situations without my power is not new. They literally didn't go to work a lot. You don't. I mean, as a public service commission, you basically don't have to go to work.
So this guy Dunn came in and said, you know, we're what 40% above, almost above the average on return, and you know, we need to look at that. Doing his job.
Just look at it.
It's really surprised me, kind of the amateurish hack job that they've tried to do on him. You know, people in Mobile remember Luke Buckley. He was a member of the Susies, and he went and did, just filmed, you know, one meeting, and he's up at UAB now, and they put out a video. You know, Alabama Power is a multi-million dollar company. They put out a video attacking Luke Buckley.
Well, it was in I'll tell you about that video. It was in the name of the Alabama Coal Association, and as they did a video about that, which is it's almost too much to get into. It's a piece of propaganda, and they had some people. Birmingham Times is a weekly newspaper, which unfortunately can sometimes it's an African American newspaper that has, I think, been paid at times. There were some photographers at the PSC meeting who said they were with the Birmingham Times. They interviewed a lot of people with, you know, with the AARP and these other groups who willingly gave interviews to the news media. Turns out the Birmingham Times has never used this. It's been used in these videos. And one of the videos, I was trying to get footage, and I saw this Luke Buckley. I'd never heard of him. And he was like 21, and he had been hired, I think, by a group on some grant to do a film project, and they said, I'm with the Birmingham Times, and so he talked to them, and then they kind of used it against him and others and made fun of him in this movie as they're sort of the lefty environmentalists that Dunn is connected. It was just a piece of propaganda, but I don't know if I'm...
Well, so this is my question for our panel here. Up at Montgomery, you know, it's got to promote to that $50 million.
I spent several thousand dollars giving up all my time.
I will say this, when you think of dirty politics, like you're saying, you don't think of things like Alabama Power or stuff like that, because it doesn't seem so very political. I mean, to me, maybe it's a power company. Is it Alabama Power per se, or is it Southern Company in general? Because isn't Alabama Power owned by a Southern Company? Yeah. Well, so going after, so it's Southern Company in general.
No,
it's Alabama Power.
In fact, if you were to look in John Archibald with the Birmingham News, who writes a column, very good column, and he had a column this morning, I think it'll be in our paper. Alabama Power, among all the Southern companies, in fact, I have this in one of my videos, they spend like $20 million a year on this vague public relations stuff. No, they spend like, if you were to get like, all six connect-related power companies in this region together, they don't spend as much on this kind of stuff as Alabama Power. Alabama Power, in fact, there were stories years ago where they get their law firm, Bosch Bingham, Jimmy Evans, who you don't know, he was the Democratic Attorney General. An Attorney General can order these rate things, and there's a memo where Alabama Power's lawyer is going to their Attorney General and say, Jimmy, we're going to give $100,000 to Buddy Hamner, who is this corrupt little nothing buddy of Jimmy's. Is that good enough? Is $100,000 good enough? So here you have one of the finest law firms in Alabama working for Alabama Power and was bribing, basically, the Attorney General. So what you have, what's disgusting about this to me is you got people who get paid $1 million a year with the finest law firms, with the company, where they promote themselves as being holier than thou, and they have spent unbelievable amounts of money to destroy somebody simply for attempting to regulate them. And
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but the question is, I mean, it's really not that complicated. I mean, you had a guy that came in, he's a Republican, has nothing to do with
No. Well. Now, let me be clear on this. The rates aren't necessarily. I think Alabama Power's rates are like 26%. But
return on equity.
Right.
So the return on equity is 40% higher. But that's the problem is, I mean, keep this simple. Alabama Power says, the public does not need to know about return on equity. You know,
they don't want to know about that.
But anyway, the guy's a Republican. He came in and they're just doing a hit job on him to do his job.
Oh, but they're holier than now. If you ask Alabama Power, we don't have anything to do with this.
And their buddies, Twinkle Kavanaugh, and Hubbard are in there, fellow Republicans trying to get rid of him. They're running another Republican against him. And it's not that complicated. I mean, it's an obvious, if you look at what's going on at the videos, they're doing hit jobs. They're staging protests with crazy-looking environmentalists saying, Dunn's our man. And apparently, they're the ones that
I can't go into all the details, but one of the things they did or was done is that outside a public service commission came a bunch of people wearing masks and wild environmental slogans, praising Dunn, belittling Kavanaugh. Pictures and video were taken. Those pictures and video were then used in the media against Dunn, linking him with those people. So what you have really is people who were weren't real protesters. Someone, and I'm not going to go into it, was cynical enough to create a phony protest and then use it against the guy. And I think that is that disgusts me. And the reason that I've put all my time and effort into this is because it makes me sick to my stomach.
It's really just crazy. If Alabama Power just went to meetings and say, look, okay, this is what we need to do to make a profit, and kind of presented their side of their argument just at the commission, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But they're going in and they're creating the hit videos against people like Luke Buckley, who's...
Luke Buckley's just a little...
Yeah. That's the whole thing, is this multimillion-dollar company is going after anybody that, raises any question about it, even if they're going to put a 10-minute video up on YouTube.
And it's so deceptive what they've done.
It's like if they just acted normal, they probably could get away with 14%, but they're going to go away and stage phony protests and stuff in some sort of underhanded means attack anybody that tries to question them. It's very
strange. I am proud of my little video, the videos I put on. I think if you watch them, and it may take you a while, I think you get a lot of Terry Dunn. I took a little flip camera up to interview Terry Dunn, and I thought, well, maybe it'd be good to interview him. And I was so compelled and interested by him and his decency and what they've done to him. It just shocked me.
What do you think? Do you think he's just going to get kicked out of office because they're able to portray him as an environmentalist?
He knows that in order to win a state election in a Republican primary, you got to have money. He's not going to get any money. The guy who's the toady they want, a guy named Chip Beaker, they're having huge fundraisers for him. He's going to have all the money, so all the regular people who don't have time to get educated, they're just going to see the ads. They're going to see ads showing Terry Dunn as the liberal Obama. They're going to have him morphing into Obama as occurred, I believe, in one of the things. And they're going to do that, and they're going to say, I'm not voting for this tree-hugging liberal, And so what's going to happen is Alabama Power's man is going to be in, and they'll be, just the tiniest threat to their control of the Public Service Commission, and this is what they do to people. And they do it, and they've got other people doing it for them. But my goal is to expose those behind the mask, and that's something you have to watch the movie to see who's behind the mask. But
right, so we'll Eddie's got a great website. We'll try and break it down in a post, and we'll include their video of Luke, which is really funny because it makes him. They have the eerie music in the background.
I'm actually going to do.
And it makes him look like he's, you know, like he's a mastermind. You know.
Well, actually, one thing I'm working on now is an analysis of the movie Behind the Mask. It's right. Like unbelievably. Load of BS.
Anyway, so I do, you know, I hope people we'll break it down on the site, but you know, hopefully this will continue to gain traction. And I mean, I think the bets of Mr. Dunn actually getting reelected is probably what 20%. You think?
You know, unless Alvin Power Lower. Somehow gets shamed on this issue, he doesn't have a prayer.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He won't get any money. So anyway, but thank y'all for having me.
Well, that was fun.
Roll time.
But and also from the political standpoint, oh no, come on, man, sit down.
Say, have a drink. I'll tell you my Alabama story.
Now, I do want to ask you one thing: your opinion on the congressional race between Bradley Byrne and Dean Young. As you know, we feel that Dean Young's too liberal for Lower Alabama. You know,
he's not.
He's willing to say homosexuals are not allowed in Alabama or should not live in Alabama. He's willing to say that everyone. We should have required school prayer in Alabama, but he's not going to file a prescription of stoning homosexuals or
why not?
Or I mean, cutting infidel children to pieces. And so we feel he's too liberal for
okay. Well, I'm gonna present the opposing viewpoint. Well, personally, I think Dean Young is something hit him. You know, a big box of bricks hit him on the head or something. I don't think he's all there. I don't. But Bradley Byrne, and you know, one common criticism of Bradley Byrne, and I can actually agree with it, is that he will change his stripes a little bit. You know, but in electoral politics, you have to. But I was on a panel with him years ago at Troy State. And afterwards, myself and him and the other guy on the panel, we're just having a bite to eat. And I'm telling you, Bradley Byrne, I was like, hey, that guy knows how government works. He knows the ins and outs of Alabama state policy. I mean, he is a very, very bright person. So I think he was the best candidate in the race. You know, I'm more of a moderate. So these days, to stay elected in Lower Alabama, you probably need to take positions that aren't going to be for me. The first George Bush, he would have to be a Democrat now, and probably the second one as well. But I think Bradley Byrne is a very bright man, and I think the difference between him and Dean Young as far as quality of representation and quality of intellect and quality of character is just – you couldn't get any wider.
Any thoughts on Dean Young's Beach Pack, which funded the campaigns of Steve Russo in Orange Beach, and who was – convicted of public corruption. Are you familiar with that at all?
I'm familiar with the Russo stuff, but I didn't know about Dean Young having
Young
to do that.
Pack. And I'm not throwing out there as innuendo. Honestly, you know, that seems like that's not gotten mentioned, and I don't know if there's anything there.
Huh.
I promise you this, Orange Beach corruption situation.
He's the one guy in the race who you know, including the ones that got defeated. There was one guy who can go up there and really embarrass us, and it's Dean Young. If he goes up there, he will, I promise you, embarrass us.
We'll make it clear that homosexuals and non-Christians and
whatever,
non-whites are not welcome in Alabama, so that's fine.
What is going on?
He'll try to stop rock and roll.
And
he doesn't like the use of the word mod. And we'll probably have that removed from the internet as well.
Alabama Power doesn't kill us.
Yeah.
Alabama Power and I have had beef since the blizzard of 93.
They're a great company as far as service, keeping the power on. And you know, I had a tornado on Christmas Day. I mean, I had my power on back in 2 days. I mean, in terms of service, they are a very good company.
I will say that maybe we should say this, that we're not belittling anyone who works there or
just their government relations
that,
people.
But there are a few wonky people that need to be dealt with. Is that a nice
I'm
way to sum
I'm talking about the executives
up?
And those in their government
that's
relations.
That's what I'm not, saying. Not staff
not,
or anything
not
like
damn
that.
Pay. No, they're great. They you know, we got, I think we got a great power company in terms of service.
It's executives and their
executives and
public and political relations.
Yeah. But thank y'all for having me.
So to jump back into things, you're listening to Babylon Mobile here at Mod Mobilian Radio, recording live-ish today at Haley's, where we are now going to do a shot because it's $4 American Whiskey Wednesday. Whiskey Wednesday, my friends, so raise your glass of Makers. Raise your glass of Makers, even just in solidarity. If you don't want to take your shot, you big old pansy.
I have to drive.
I prefer to be called a pussy.
So Luke Rivers, longtime door guy at Haley's, always has kept you and me and God and everybody safe that's ever coming here, no matter what time of night. Jacked up his knee really quite badly, has to have surgery, and will need some physical therapy. To help with Luke's medical bills, you can go to modmobilian.com or find us on Facebook or find Haley's on Facebook, and you can make a donation to the Human Tribe Project. Or you can make sure you're here in November for the benefit they're going to throw for Luke, which is going, it's still being put together. But from what I can tell right now, there's going to be one-of-a-kind art, lots of gift packages, things like that, and all-out Haley's party, because you know how Haley's is. And that's all to raise money to help Luke with his medical expenses. So for some guy, if you've ever darkened the door at Haley's, Luke has made sure you had a good time, whether it's keeping crazy drunks away from you or keeping you in line when you were a crazy drunk. So we'll keep you posted with all those details and hope you can come out and help somebody who's always helped us. Speaking of Haley's and shows, last weekend, Great Peacock absolutely killed it at Callahan's. That was the most phenomenal show I think they have done in Mobile, including South Sounds. And you know how I think South Sounds is manna from heaven. Killed it at Callahan's. Then joined us over here at Haley's, where shit got wild. I'm not even going to lie. You know who I saw come in here at one point? Do you want to know?
Nick Cage.
No. I've never seen JT of Callahan's in Haley's that late. And he walked in. And it got real, y'all. It got real. But they had a fantastic time. Mobile seems to really be warming up to him. A lot of great people in the audience for them this time that I didn't see the last couple of times, like Rob and Ashley from Lanyap. Gina from Veets was there as well. Absolutely raved about the show. And it was phenomenal. So talking about upcoming shows, Soul Kitchen just announced that 95 KSJ and Soul Kitchen are proud to present Kip Moore Saturday, November 23rd. If you're a country fan, you know who Kip Moore is. Or if you lived in Coleman County between the years of 1999 and 2002, you know who Kip is, because I believe he was a golfer at Wallace State. And someone's older sister hung out with those kids while she was still in high school. I've met that guy, and now he's famous. I think it's hilarious.
He's not that famous. I don't know who he is.
Brett Denon is coming to the Soul Kitchen on October 27th. And, of course, you know, coming up, they have Frank Turner, Coheed and Cambria, and a boatload of other great things. So just find them on Facebook or keep an eye on modmobilian.com. We'll keep you in the loop with everything going on there at 219 Dolphin Street. And now it's time for sports with Mac.
Yay! Well, there's this big thing going on right now with an SEC backlash.
What?
That people, analysts, football fans, everything are tired of the SEC being so dominant and tired of...
We can't help it that we're...
And especially
awesome.
Tired of Alabama. But the funny thing is...
I hate you when you're on top.
People want to, you know, just talk all this crap about the SEC. Well, we just broke a new record with the AP Top 25 by having 8 total teams from the SEC in the top 25. It's never happened before. It's pretty awesome. You know, and this last week was pretty crazy because I was dead on with my Missouri beating Georgia. And I thought that was awesome. Point spread and everything.
Can I get your opinion on this? Because now it's become a running thing that we talk about how my stepmom really believes that Georgia is going to win the BCS.
Well,
how
right.
tough is it going to be for Georgia, A, to get to the SEC championship, and B,
Missouri is going to have to lose two games for that to happen. And Florida is going to have to lose two games for that to happen. With Georgia having two losses and one of them being to an SEC East school, it makes it very difficult for them. Do I think Florida is Georgia's already lost.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure Florida's going to lose because they actually have they have Missouri this weekend, actually. So there we go. We got the Battle of Florida and Missouri this weekend, which is going to be a pretty awesome game if you like defense and running backs, because Missouri is also leading the SEC in rushing. But there's a really big backlash going on. I don't really understand it, because people didn't do that when the Pac-10 and the Big 12 dominated back in, you know, the mid-90s and early 2000s.
Do you think it's just jealousy?
I don't really know if it's jealousy, because some of them are actually SEC writers. Because it's just all the talk goes to the SEC. Even like the whole argument I have with Oregon being an SEC team, which was Tennessee.
Sports stars have to have something to write about, and, you know, I mean, what else are you going to
write about
if it's not exciting? If SEC dominates everything, then, you know, it gets kind of boring, so what else do you have to write about?
And the closest thing that's ever been like this was in the 60s, when Bama should have won three national championships in a row, and we beat Nebraska in the Cotton Bowl, who was also undefeated, and Nebraska was named the national champions, just because they didn't want Bama to win 3 years in a row. For some odd reason, people hate the South. I don't get it.
It's because we're pretty.
I really don't.
Well, it'd be funny if Ole Miss had lived up to their preseason.
And if Bo Wallace
a little bit better, and you know, it'd be interesting to see if this, you know, I'd love to see SEC getting better. Get
Auburn
in there and go.
Auburn's in there now. Auburn's ranked. Missouri jumped way up from like 24 to 14 or something. No, 11. 24 to 11. So it's pretty awesome to see these schools that are getting bigger. But Ole Miss's big problem was Bo Wallace running his mouth. Not a very smart thing to do to say you're better than Johnny Football.
Surprise when Ole Miss or State or Vanderbilt, whatever, have good teams, but always a little wary of the polls that have them, you know, doing really well.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, the whole Missouri thing was everybody's like, they were untested. They haven't played anybody. It's the only team they beat in the SEC so far before Georgia was Vandy, and they blew the doors off Vandy. And then they went and played Georgia and beat the eleven crap out of Georgia, and it was great to see that just because it shuts people up with Missouri. But Ole Miss, in a couple of years, I think Ole Miss is going to be great. Hugh Freeze is wonderful. He's a great coach. They just got to develop their talent more. They're really, really young. Auburn has got A&M this week. Kind of interested to see how that game goes. Just because Arkansas gave A&M a hard time last week. And I think Auburn's a lot better than Arkansas. it's just going to be interesting for me.
Yeah.
There's some really big games this week in general. You know, Bama's got Arkansas. We'll see how that goes. I'm not really too stressed out about it. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout, but I don't think it's going to be a close game either. We got what people are calling, you know, they called LSU-Bama in 2011 the game of the century. They're now slating a second game of the century, which is Clemson and Florida State, which is the primetime game on Saturday night. It's going to be a slugfest. You got UCLA and Stanford. Stanford just came off that hard loss to Utah, which kind of ruined their chances. The only chance they have now is to beat Oregon to try to get the Pac-12. Let's see. Yeah, and LSU and Ole Miss, which I also think is going to be very, very interesting, as Ole Miss is kind of coming off those two losses, the two back-to-back losses, and Bo Wallace running his mouth, so maybe they'll be able to step up and maybe beat LSU, which pretty much seals it for Bama to go into the SEC title game. Because then we'd be one loss, but the only loss would have, you know, would, if we had a loss, it would still probably be to a team that already has a loss as well. So it wouldn't be that big of a deal. So about all I got for college football this week. It's really, there's a lot of podunk games going on. Nothing too big and serious. But it's just, you know, there's also, wait, going back to the Alabama backlash, there's a huge A.J. McCarron backlash right now. Catherine Webb's not helping. But, hey, she's an Auburn alum who is dating a Bama quarterback. I give her props for that. But there's a huge AJ McCarron.
Somebody props for that. I'm sorry.
Because she made the right choice.
it was inevitable. It could be worse.
It could have been worse. She, he could.
Let's just hope she doesn't end up like, you know, what's her name?
Exactly.
And the other what's her name with the twerking and with the
no
underwear stuff. And
you can kind of thank Brent Musburger for making her famous.
She's not quite to that point yet.
You can kind of thank Brent Musburger for that.
Yeah, I thought all that was gonna die out after she did the that diving commercial. That diving competition. But now she's doing the Hardee's commercial.
Well, she also does, and she does some broadcasting for ESPN as well.
Yeah, but you know,
She's not going anywhere.
I agree.
You know, when you run out of your, I want to say when you only got one ad, but you know, you got to work with. I keep it going.
I'm not going to talk about her like that because somebody that I know would get very, very mad at me. So I'm not going to say anything. But
I think she's awesome. Hanging out of his head.
Anyway, I mean, we can move on to some really interesting things happening in the NFL if you want. You know, with I got to do this for Clay because he's not here. I even told him I would talk about the Browns since he's not here to do it.
A guy I love.
And so Brian Hoyer went out for the year. They put Brandon Whedon back in, and they lost this last week. So a Cleveland Brown fan who's actually getting some – he's getting a little bit of trouble put an ad on Craigslist for the starting Cleveland Browns quarterback. And it started all kinds of big issues there. And it's really starting to kind of get to all the Cleveland fans and the Cleveland players as well that their city's not behind them and some fans – I did not say titties. I said cities. City. Blah, blah, blah. And then the whole Coats owner / GM issue with Peyton Manning. Hearsay saying all this stuff like that they should recognize Peyton Manning and that Manning told them to pick Andrew Luck and all this kind of stuff, which leads to, in my opinion, the biggest game this weekend in the pros, which is the Broncos at the Colts. Peyton's going back to Lucas Field, and it's going to be retardedly awesome to watch him go against Andrew Luck and T. Rich, which also brings up issues because Colts fans are now wanting the GM's head for making that trade for Gainter interesting because he hasn't lived up to the hype, but he also doesn't know the offense either, and they also just came off a really tough loss. Speaking of a tough loss, Saints, sorry guys, you gave Tom Brady too much time. Can't do that.
Yeah, that was dumb.
You can't drop passes either.
Well, you mean, one loss, you have to happen. It was close, but yeah, it was one of those things that was so avoidable. But it
kind of reminded me of a college game because there was like 10 different momentum swings throughout that entire game, which usually doesn't happen in professional football. There's one big momentum swing that changes it, but with that game, it was so it was just ridiculous.
The last Saints touchdown,
and then Brady.
That's the way it goes. I think the Saints have a good position.
They do in the NFC South.
So,
Rob Ryan hates Tom Brady just as much as Rex Ryan does. So that was a big loss for him. Ryan brothers hate Tom Brady.
So I think we still got Saints still in a good position.
I think the Saints are in a great shape. A team that's not, if you want to consider them also kind of local, is the Falcons. Because they did lose Julio for the year.
Yeah.
And he actually might even miss some preseason next year. And that's a really tough loss for them.
2-4 anyway.
Yeah.
Something like that.
They're 1-4 or 1-5. Something like that. It's horrible. They're not doing what they should do. Neither are the Steelers. There's a lot of teams that are really bad this year that should not be. We got a couple of games that are kind of big matchups for their divisions. Like we get Cowboys against the Eagles. They still have not named the starting quarterback in Philadelphia. Everybody's screaming Nick Foles instead of Michael Vick, but you can't really put it past Chip Kelly to decide until it's going to be game day. Because Michael Vick says he is fine and good to go. And we got the Patriots against the Jets. I actually kind of have the Jets winning this one by 3.
Huh.
Just because that defense is finally starting to come together. D. Milner is finally learning how to play cornerback in the NFL. Even though he's a rookie, you can't really say finally, but with his talent, it should have been. I mean, look what he did at Bama. He was phenomenal. That should it should be a really good game. It always is. It's never anything horrible. Geno Smith is also starting to play well, and I'm actually about to check the score of the Dodgers game, because this is, if they lose this, they are done.
I just want to emphasize again how brokenhearted we are about the 1-4 record for the Atlanta Falcons and their fans, and that, you know.
I am a Falcons fan, so I'm very brokenhearted. I'm also a Steelers fan. Don't even talk about that.
Our sympathies.
I don't even want to talk about that. Right now, in the top of the ninth, the Dodgers are winning 6-2 to keep themselves in the playoffs. So that's pretty awesome. And then, what's today? Is it the 15th or the 16th? 16th. And then tonight, at 7 on Fox, we have the Red Sox going against the Tigers. It's going to be Jake Peavy's first start, Mobile's own.
So we'll talk about that next week, since
this
airs on Thursday.
Yep. But I'm just saying, we got Jake Peavy going on. That's going to be awesome. Sorry. Games tonight don't really count. Speaking of Alabama boys, Phillip Rivers showed up very, very well against Indianapolis Colts, and I was very proud of him. Decatur's own Phillip Rivers. He's on a big comeback year this year in the NFL. I think he's going to win Comeback Player of the Year. And hearts go out to Adrian Peterson, who lost his son this week as well. Keep him in your thoughts and prayers. It's a really sad situation. That's really about all I got this week in sports. It has not been a big week unless you're a Colorado Rockies fan. They gave Walt Weiss an extension. 4-year extension. He's going to be in Colorado even longer. Sorry, Colorado Rocky fans.
All righty. Well, yeah, it's been a it's been a slow week in sports, slow week in for music around here, except for Great Peacock, and we've been a little politics heavy on My Mobilion, but you know, things come and go. There's some weeks where it'll be all music. But Emily, your final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I would like to thank Sarah at the Battle House for my awesome bangs and new haircut. Not even gonna lie.
It is a nice haircut. It looks good.
I feel like an adult again. I think they're fine.
The eyebrows are fine.
But to wrap it all up, thank you so much for tuning in to Babylon Mobile. You hear it here on Mod Mobilian Radio. Don't forget to tune in next time when we'll... Oh! Next time we'll talk about Little Debbie's new fall treats they're rolling out. You love the Christmas tree cake that they do at Christmas time? They're doing a fall cake. I know my mother's going to be so very excited.
Can we talk about the new high-end culinary Hot Pockets as well?
What?
Yes, Hot Pockets is changing. It's going to have a new line where it's supposed to be like high-end Hot Pockets.
So tune in for high-end Hot Pockets, Little Debbie's, and all the decadence and debauchery you can stomach from modmobilian.com. My name is Emily. On behalf of all of our contributors, thank you for listening. This has been Babylon Mobile from Mod Mobilian Radio.
Oh, I should talk about Ohio, Oklahoma. Just inside the movie with the Memphis Blues.